Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome to another episode of That's What People Do. You are joined by me, Ryan McGowan, and as always, James Kay. How are you doing today, bud? You alright?
I'm okay, Ryan. It's a Tuesday evening. Yeah. Nothing much happens. How are you?
Yeah. I like the whole, just how nonchalant we can be about some things. You know, most podcasts are like, oh, I've done this and I've done amazing things. And we're just like, yeah, no, fine.
I've done fuck all.
Yeah. Good. I'm good too. Where are we? Right. We are doing not a person this week. We're doing a thing, but still sort of falls within the realm of what people do. But we're not alone. We have a very special guest on joining us today. We have, well, you've heard her be mentioned many, many times, but we have my partner, Jenna Lucas, joining us on the show. Hello, Jenna, how are you?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
I mean, it's been a while now, so I feel like this should have happened a long time ago. Now, we've got Jenna on because, you know, James, I think it's fair to say, without Jenna, we wouldn't have video content. It just wouldn't happen.
No, not at all. It would be awful.
Yeah. If you've joined us over on Patreon and you've seen us do our docuseries with on Jack the Ripper, we've got a wee documentary on the Hammersmith murders, and if you've seen the Patreon plea that went out sometime last year, that's because Jenna has been behind the camera and has edited and put it all together and made it look as good as it actually does. So thank you.
You're welcome. More to come.
Yes, more to come. We've pretty much brought Jenna on now to be our official videographer for the show. But I thought we'd just take a couple of minutes just to, you know, find out a little bit more about Jenna, have our audience, you know, you've got to know us for, well, it's coming up 5 years now on the show, James.
Yep. We could have committed some sort of crime, gone to jail and been out in the time that we've been doing this.
we could have. We're coming up 5 years now, and Jen, you've been around for, well, I suppose 4 years of that now.
About 3 and a bit.
So I feel like, you know, the audience knows us really well, so let's get them to know you a little bit. So you have a background in sort of acting and film, so tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I have a BA in acting and MA in film and TV production, and I currently work in post-production. I'm just their office manager at the moment, but I am training to become a post-producer, which is really exciting. But I actually met Ryan in the infamous London dungeons that we all know and love. Wasn't on the same contract as James, though, so I only met James through Ryan. But yeah, I worked at the London Dungeons as well.
I'm pulling all the
strings.
That place
brings people together.
It does, doesn't it? Does. We were talking about it the other day, Jenna and I, saying about how that place makes and breaks relationships. If you're in one, you won't be in it by the time you finish your contract. And if you're not in one, you probably will be in one by the end of it.
It's a fucking crazy place. I think it's because, we can say this now, we haven't worked there for ages, it's so horrifically shit to work there that you kind of latch on to each other because you're all you've got. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very intense.
You see each other through highs and lows in that place, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
This is the thing. Like, whenever people used to join, they'd be like, what's the best part about this job? Like, each other. If you don't enjoy the team, you're fucked.
I could not agree with that more. Like, if you didn't gel with your current crop of actors that were doing the contract with you, you were gonna have a shit time.
But that's the exact reason why I left, because all of my friends left because of the contract, and I looked around, I was like, who the fuck are you people? So I just left as well.
And you're James, I don't know if you noticed, Jenna, James was blacklisted because he didn't bother working any notice period or anything. He just said, I'm out, and just went.
But apparently I spoke to someone recently, if I wanted to go back, I could.
Wouldn't it be funny if we all went back for one last time?
Never say never, Ryan. Never say never.
I do sometimes think of it and think, I would like to go back.
But rose tinted glasses. Rose tinted glasses.
Yeah, after the first day, I'll go, no, this is shit. I can't do this anymore.
we met through that. And then years down the line, we eventually got together. So in terms of creating content for TWPD, we've done a few bits now. So, and obviously, you know me really well. How have you, Jenna, found it in terms of putting stuff together and working with me and James?
It's been an experience, to say the least. It's always fun. We always have a laugh. I think we've only just started out creating video content, so we've got a lot to learn, all three of us working together. But I'm looking
for... That's a really good way of saying difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, you said it, not me. But I think it's because sometimes you'll write a script, you boys won't learn the lines, so we're standing out in the pissing rain, having to do multiple takes. It's fun. It's a laugh. And I do enjoy it.
It's a laugh afterwards.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to some of the things we've got on the horizon.
Yeah. We, for you guys listening, we had a really interesting production meeting, the first actual production meeting we've had in 5 years. And it was really productive. And one thing that James and I really sort of found funny about it all is coming to this realization that we've managed to do coming up to 5 years of this show without actually having a clue what we're doing. So now we're actually starting to, put our
heads... I think we had one meeting at the start in Wetherspoons where we were like, what do we want to do?
Yeah.
We're like, this. And then I think we got like two episode ideas. We're like, yeah, that's fine. And that's somehow 5 years later. The first ever episodes that I wrote, I turned up with bullet points.
That's right. Yeah, I remember you were so confused because you're like, oh, wait, you've actually written a script. I've just done bullet points.
Yeah. So I think it was Tolkien. If you go and listen to the Tolkien episode, it's pure waffle.
Which, I'm not ashamed to say, is exactly what this episode is going to be as well. Because, like I say, we're not talking about any person in particular. We are talking about a phenomena. And Jenna, you're going to hang around to talk about hebristophilia.
I am.
So let's get into it, shall we? Let's have a little... we love an intro. Now, we've all likely been in a relationship with red flags, right? We often ignore these flags until it's far too late. Things like, not letting you have guy friends, or maybe being overly cautious with what you wear, or maybe even not sharing your passwords or hiding your phone screen from your loved ones. James, do any of those red flags for you, are they like, they're not red flags, what are you talking about?
No, they are, but I've also ignored all of them at some point in the past.
Yeah. Have you been in relationships with ladies where there have been red flags and you've chose to ignore them?
Exclusively.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So I'm single, ladies. If you're a green flag, hit us up on socials and we'll have a chat.
Even if you're an amber flag, I think you'll...
any fucking colour, just have a go. Even if you're a red flag.
We'll see what's going on. Yeah. I mean, I've been in relationships where there are definitely red flags that I've just chose to ignore, and then it gets to a point you go, I can't anymore. This is just no. These are terrible. Jen, have you had red flags?
Yeah, the odd one or two. Nothing too major, like nothing too controlling, I don't think. I think that if it was to the point where things would be controlling, like not letting me wear a certain outfit or not letting me have certain friends, then that's where I'd draw the line.
Now, these are all red flags that, you know, I think for the most part, they can be worked on if you really like the person hard enough and you're willing to communicate and do that. You can work on these, right? But what about when that red flag is, I don't know, serious assault or murder? Let's talk about women who cannot keep themselves away from bad boys.
They love a bad boy.
They love a bad boy. Now, today, like I say, we are talking about hybristophilia. Now, for those that don't know, it is a fancy term. It is women who fall for very dangerous or violent criminals. And it is popularly known as Bonnie and Clyde syndrome, after the famous couple.
Now, we'll
get to it a little bit later, I suppose. But Bonnie is said to have hybristophilia, and Clyde is said to not necessarily have had it. And we'll get into it in a minute, and you'll go, oh, that makes a lot of sense. So it turns out that more women than men have this paraphilia, and it is a paraphilia. So it's not a disorder, it's not a condition or sorts that you can be, you know, treated in that way. It's a paraphilia in the same way that it is, it's basically a fetish. So some people, like, as we've mentioned before, the most common fetish in the world is the foot fetish, because it comes from when you were a child and you played with your parents' feet because it was the easiest thing that they could sort of throw in your face when they couldn't be asked to play with you. They'd go, oh.
Well, who the fuck? What?
I swear I've told you this before.
Nah, this is revolting. We've never discussed this.
I have to. Right. Okay. Well,
but if you're a parent and you're like, I need to just give my child my foot, that's wrong.
I feel like this is something that my dad would have done, being a lazy cunt.
That slipped out.
That was Freudian. Anyway, but no, apparently it's a condition. Well, it's a thing that it's the most common fetish in humans is the foot fetish, and apparently it's because oftentimes as a child you're crawling around the floor, and the easiest thing you can probably get to is your parents' foot, and if they're not necessarily interested in playing with you, they just leave the foot there, you play with the foot, and then as you get older and you become more sexualized, that's something that is triggered with the idea of a sense of happiness and joy, and so most people then look at feet in the same way.
No, it's wrong.
I mean, it does tickle, so I can kind of see why people might like it. I don't like it, full disclosure. That's just...
No, I'm not a foot person. I'm a socks on in bed person.
Oh, no.
You've got to let them breathe, James.
Only when I'm sleeping by myself, no, socks off. If I'm sleeping with someone else, socks on all the time. If my foot touches another human being's foot, I don't care how in love with you I am, it's a fucking issue.
What if they touch their foot with you, like with your leg? Is that red flag?
So if they put like their foot on me?
Yeah.
Yeah, problem. You know how like some women have like to do this thing when they've got cold feet and like put them on their partner's back? Yeah, don't do that. I'll break up with you.
Okay. Right. So anyway, it's a paraphilia. Hybristophilia is a paraphilia. So it is another form of a fetish. So it's not necessarily something that you can cure, or you can work on it if you really want to. You could speak with therapists and try and like figure out a way as to maybe why you like this. But yes, now this is mostly found through pen pal services, and we'll get to that a little bit later. You'll see it as being a common theme, so like apps and websites. Now, lots of high profile serial killers receive loads of fan mail. We know this, right? So Ted Bundy, Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, Charlie Manson, all of them have received love letters from females, marriage proposals and the like, always wanting to be like, oh, harbor my children, all this kind of vibe. That is hybristophilia. So let's look at some reasons as to like why it may be a thing. Lots of these have come from women themselves who have married or dated criminals and inmates from in prison and stuff like that. So this is not me just being a bloke assuming this is why women do it. And it was also one of the reasons why we've brought Jenna on today, is to give that female touch. So, you know, we're not just two white blokes saying that women
discussing
are weird.
It.
Yeah.
Also, it really helps that, like, when you were in prison, Jenna met you through the pen pal scheme. So it kind of ties everything together.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave the viewers to decide whether that's a joke or not.
Yes, and because I was going to make a joke, and then I was like, I don't really want to make a joke about what it may have been. fraud. Simply fraud. It's fine. That's fine. Anyway, it's not entirely known why, right? But there are a couple of theories. And one of these theories is that this old school mentality of the strong male will protect the family and the children. Okay, so if you're looking at a serial killer who can murder another human being, you're like, oh, okay, your ancient animalistic instinct that, if we're honest, isn't very useful in today's world, right? We'll go, oh, that man is strong. He could definitely look after himself. Therefore, he could look after my family and my children. And that's one reason why women just cannot help but be drawn to someone like that. So, Jen, is that something that maybe would resonate for you? Is that because I like to look at these old ways. I think we are still just cavemen, but we've got roofs and lights and cars. I don't think we've evolved that far along. I think we are just idiots still and stupid. But a lot of people can have issue when I use these theories as examples and explanations for why we do stuff. So does that make sense in any way for you, Jenna?
I mean, no. It really, you always bring up cavemen kind of mentality and how men and women are not much different to kind of how they were back then, and I just think they've come so far, and it's just not right.
See, that is the typical response I get from a lot of people that feel like that.
But I think the instincts are there, isn't it? Our instincts are to sleep, eat, and have sex. Three like basic. So if you removed someone's complete intelligence, they'd still know how to eat, sleep, and reproduce.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't know how to like build the Large Hadron Collider again.
No,
like, that wouldn't happen.
No, but I do think like if we're looking at today's world, right? So in the modern world that we're living in today, who is more likely, not to be all Andrew Tatey about it, but like who is more likely to be seen upon more favourably by the opposite sex in this sort of cis example here? It's going to be the guy that you think may be able to provide for your family and children and such as that. And so you're looking for maybe someone that's got a good job that maybe can support themselves, can maybe financially support you, because that's the world that we live in now where you need those things. Whereas way back when, that wasn't necessarily a thing. You just needed someone that could fight off the saber-toothed tiger outside the cave, because you know they can then go out and hunt meat and all this kind of stuff. That's what you were kind of looking for. And I think, James, using your example, if you was to strip everything back now and we was to just go back to those basic instincts, those would then become relevant again. So I do think that they're still somewhere in the back of your brain waiting to be woken up. And what I'm, when I say this, I don't mean every single person, because you know clearly yourself, Jenna, you don't have that right in you. But I do think that most people do have that, in that when you go to maybe a Magic Mike show, what are you looking out for? You're looking out for the big buff dudes that look muscular and strong. You know, that you can't help but have that instinct in you to go, oh, I like a bit of that, even though in your actual relationship you might not have that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Aww. No, I see where you're coming from there.
That's not to say I'm not.
Don't put yourself down, Ryan.
Anyway. Okay, another one is low self-esteem / a lack of a father figure. What do we think about that?
That makes a lot more sense, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The whole daddy issue thing.
Yeah.
That's real.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting case. So like to take for instance, go closer to home for me. So most people will know, obviously my dad was not around as a kid, so... my sisters are a couple of years younger than me, so they really didn't have any sort of like male father influential figure growing up that was there all the time to help bring them up. Not to be a bit Freudian, because I know Freud can be a bit weird about this all, but they do say that you somewhat look for your parent in your partner. So, Jenna, you always joke about how your dad.
Well, just because you and my dad have the exact same sense of humour, and sometimes you'll be talking to me and I'm just like, that's just my dad, which is a bit weird.
So to go with that a little bit, my sisters then therefore don't necessarily have a reference for what it is they should be looking for in a partner. And so they've kind of gone on this like really bizarre, odd journey of different types of guys that may or may not sort of fit their personality and such as that. and it could have gone in a very bizarre way. Does that make sense at all? Am I like, so I know I'm waffling a bit, but do you think if you've got no real decent starting point?
No, I think it definitely has a knock-on effect. It's a case-by-case like thing as well. It's not like
that. Yeah.
If your dad wasn't present, you're going to be like this. It's different for everyone.
Mm.
But I've definitely known, particularly women with, not without father figures, but father figures that were perhaps like abusive or distant, it definitely impacts them growing up, as it does blokes as well, because I think men need a positive male role model. And if your dad beats you, the chances are you're probably going to think that's acceptable later down the line, unless you break the cycle. It's interesting how dads and mums, to be fair, parents have a massive impact.
No, they really do. Parents really do have a massive impact on who we become as adults. And like you say, it's not necessarily, you know, it's a case-by-case thing. So, you know, there will be people that maybe be listening that go, well, I didn't have that and I'm absolutely fine. And that's, you know, sure, there will be lots of people that are like that. And this is not an exact science, like I say. This is not entirely known. These are just theories as to why hebristophilia can come around and it start to exert in certain women. Now, some believe that they can change a man as cruel and powerful as a serial killer. Now, this one, what do you think about this sort of trope of women who can change a man, or like, oh, I can fix him? Do you think that's a thing? Because I've heard this a lot and I don't necessarily know if it exists. I'm all about how I think you make me a better person, but like, you don't come up and go, I'm going to fix this boy, he's clearly broken.
Yeah, I think that stems from a lot of different things, and I think you can see examples of that through school. The bad boy at school is always the most popular one, and I don't know whether it's a way of trying to fix them or trying to maybe trying to fix them. But I think with a lot of the cases that we'll probably talk about later, I reckon that's quite a strong example as to why they would be attracted to them.
We all like this, James, because it turns out that there's quite a little bit of a religious angle quite often in these. A lot of Christian women who think that they can mould this sinner into a saint.
I mean, I get that. Just a little aside, weirdly, my Instagram reel algorithm at the minute, I don't know how I've got there, is just, it's all Christianity, just people preaching Jesus at me. And I'm not sure why it's happened. But that's my evening, just spent scrolling through that.
Are you searching anything? Is it anything in particular?
It's mainly women talking either about like their relationships or how people can just get closer to God. I don't know why. I haven't searched it. It just happened. I think maybe I lingered on one video out of interest and now Instagram were like, oh, you want this? And now it won't go away.
Here's more.
I just want to see funny videos of people hurting themselves. I don't need this.
Another thing we've got is that a lot of women can see, quote, the little boy that they once were. So you look at this horrific monster of a human being, and what you're actually seeing is, oh, actually, no, I can see the child that you once were, the innocent side, the idea of maybe looking at Hitler and saying, well, Hitler was once a baby. And then, you know, you go, oh, they were fine. They could have been brought up a different way. I can still mold this. So I think that kind of lends to what we were just talking about with being able to maybe fix someone. But really just nurturing someone. So a lot of people have that in them.
Like Shrek.
Yeah, getting him back.
He was a dickhead and then she nurtured him. Anyway, sorry for interrupting.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, I think it's really interesting that some people as well, going back to trying to change them, I think it would be a massive achievement if they ever did change them. Not that you can revert being a serial killer. Once a serial killer, always a serial killer. But I think almost as like a fame thing or an attention-seeking thing.
Bit of clout.
That they were the one that could do it.
Mm.
It's a good old challenge, isn't it?
It is certainly.
Did you ever watch the Simpsons episode where Lisa started dating Nelson and then she tried to change him and she just couldn't?
Yeah.
He did for a little bit, but in the end it wasn't going to work.
Yeah, because his nature's too strong.
Yeah.
We then got those that purely just seek attention from the media. So we're going to cover a few of these later on, but there are women who know that by maybe dating or marrying an inmate in a prison in the US or something, like, they're going to get media attention and they're just doing it for attention. And you said, Jenna, about, like, you know, when you're at school, the girl that maybe, like, dates the bad boy.
Mm.
But that could probably also sometimes be because that gives them clout, and that's all it is. It makes them popular, gives them attention.
An easy route into fame.
Yeah, because then inevitably that will go wrong, and then it'd be like, oh my God, what happened between you and, like, Trent? And it, and then just goes off on one.
Trent.
I don't know. And then lastly, another theory we have is this notion of the perfect boyfriend, which I find this one really interesting. The idea that she knows where he is at all times. He ain't going nowhere.
There's no other women there.
No other women there. She knows that he's only thinking about her because he's got nothing else to... he's got no other outlet. And while she can claim that, she can then claim that someone loves her, she doesn't have to endure the day-to-day issues that are involved in most relationships. There's, you know, there's no laundry to do, there's no cooking or cleaning a house up after him, or there's no accountability to him, if that makes sense. She can just keep the fantasy charged up for a long time. Do you know what I mean? So
I get it.
Yeah.
And I think what's funny as well is that the ball is in the woman's court, because she'll have to, it's her choice whether she's going to go to visitation, or it's her choice whether she answers the call that he's calling her. Like, she's got control of that as well, which is quite interesting.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Now, let's look at hebristophilia and how it can sometimes go terribly wrong. Now, guys, you're going to have to bear with me on this one, because I am aware of this story. I've heard it several times, and I've been unable to find it anywhere. I've been up on Reddit, I've been asking questions, I've been searching the internet. I cannot find this story anywhere, and I have heard it. I promise you this, so go with me on this. But I am going to tell it in my own way. So there were these apparently two sisters in the USA, both Christian women, which is relevant to the story. They're married with kids, and they, being good Christians, are all about, you know, forgiving sins and shit. And what better way to do that than becoming a pen pal with some convicts serving sentences? And therefore you could, you know, retrain them, make them, like, learn better and just be better people. Now, these women are pen pals with extremely violent men. I think they've just kind of, you know, gone, oh, I'm going to try and go for the worst one here, and that'll do. That bit of clout that you were mentioning, Jenna, I've done that. Well done, me. Now, in time, they actually start to fall in love with these pen pals of theirs, to the point where they leave their husbands for these convicts in prison for very sexual assault and, like, murder they're in for. It's not good. Mm. Now, eventually, when they're married, at some point, these gentlemen are actually released from prison. Mm. And then I think one of them almost immediately tries to murder one of the sisters, his wife. And I believe he did at some point. And the other one is attacked very, very quickly, and safe to say that the marriage doesn't last very long. But that's an example that I've managed to find, well, that I wasn't able to find, but I've heard it before, of hebristophilia kind of going wrong. Now, on the flip side, so whilst you can be attacked by your lover, you can also become someone that will attack others. So I've got a couple of examples of women who, through hebristophilia, have then gone on to do some horrible stuff. So we've got, obviously, Bonnie Parker, who is one of Bonnie and Clyde, the criminal duo. She was, this is, you know, named after. She just fell in love with this guy, couldn't stop. She apparently had like a fairly normal upbringing, but just, he's a little ruffian, a little bad boy with a gun and cars, fast cars and all this kind of stuff. She loves it. We've got Myra Hindley of the Moors murders. She met Ian Brady and then would go on to murder 5 children. We will talk about her at some point soon.
It's always really, I've always thought about this, like how, when you're in a couple, like say one of you two suddenly has a surge, like, oh, I want to go on a murderous rampage, but I want my partner involved. How the fuck do you have that conversation?
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. I think it's got to be the hebristophilia that sort of does that, so that you can, I'm going to go out, I don't, listen, if I was to just randomly say, oh, I want to go on a murdering spree, something's gone terribly wrong here. This is very out of character for me. and Jenna should be calling the police instead of going, listen, I love you, I'm going to go with you on this just to see, and if it doesn't go well and you don't like it, you just won't do it. But I'm going to go on a limb and say, listen, if you're with someone who is likely to do that, there were already telltale signs a long time ago, you know?
Yeah, true.
And we'll get with that with Rose West, who, as we know, was married to Fred West.
Yeah, go and check out our episode on them.
Go check out our episode on that. Highly recommend it. She was thought to be a hebristophile. And again, that's one of those early doors. She had a really, really rough upbringing, as we know. It was not good. She was sexually assaulted as a child, stuff such as that. And then she naturally just fell for this, you know, bad boy, quote unquote, you know. And then we've got Carla Homolka. And we are going to do an episode on Carla Homolka at some point. She is one half of the Ken and Barbie killers. She's said to be her bristophile. You're making a face like, yeah, Ken and Barbie killers.
I've not heard of Ken and Barbie killers.
We should have done this when Barbenheimer was out. We should have done that.
No, you missed a trick there.
Now, we will do an episode on her and her husband, Paul Bernardo. But she is this pretty girl next door who is lured in by her husband and his sadistic fantasies, leading her to be involved in sexual assault and murder. Being a hebristophile doesn't just mean I fancy these strong, horrible people. It can sometimes mean I will go along with it and do awful stuff. Now, what we're going to cover lastly before we wrap up here is some UK women who have gone on to either marry or engage United States convicts in prison. Now, James, you must have seen a lot of articles on these in the news. In fact, you may have like written some or something in your line of work, or be aware of them at least.
Nothing springs to mind.
It's all over TikTok at the moment. Or not even at the moment.
Apart from when I fucking try and upload them, and then the algorithm's like, no, can't do that.
I've seen plenty of videos on TikTok of like almost FaceTimes of people, and almost an advert of US men saying like, hi, my name's Jared and I'm 36 and I like basketball, why don't you send me an email? Yeah. Like literally trying to like date people.
Yeah, well, this is it. So a lot of these women will have got in contact with the inmates via a pen pal service. So there'll be ones, obviously, we all know what these are. You can write to inmates and maybe strike up a friendship. It helps the inmates because it gives them maybe someone else that they can connect to on the outside. It might give them an idea of what, you know, life could be a wee bit better. They could change things up and just have some other sort of a good person to talk to. But it is changing a little bit now, and you see prisoners who have certain privileges, can maybe use their phones, use social media, use TikTok and stuff such as that. And so some of them then fall in love with women. So let's look at some of these women. So I've got a couple of examples here. So we're going to look at some women who have then got engaged to US inmates. We're going to look at Tracy Bromley. Now, Tracy's from West Yorkshire. She's engaged to a man named Ernest Otto, who robbed and murdered a man and a woman in 2005 in Ohio, and is currently serving a life in prison without the possibility of parole. Now, she was introduced to him via a prison pen pal scheme, and they hit it off, bonding over similar traumatic experiences. And I've got a quote here from her. Ernest also spoke about what he'd been through and how he was a victim of child abuse, which led him using drugs to battle his depression and anxiety. I've been in an abusive relationship before, and the way he spoke about how his experience as a child changed him really resonated with me. I think that speaks volumes as to why maybe she's gone for this kind of person.
It's like trauma bonding, isn't it?
Trauma bonding. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of other people that have gone through hard things in their life that isn't in jail that you could maybe meet.
Yeah. You know, or maybe see a counsellor. I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, she knows what she's getting into here, right? His crimes are on an advert to make the person striking up the conversation aware of who they're talking to. This is something part of like the pen pal service. So you're not just going in blind. You're very aware of who you're going to be talking to, because chances are they're going to lie about it and try and dull down what they're...
Sugarcoat it.
Yeah, exactly that. But in less than a year of corresponding in 2019, Ernest asked her to marry him over the phone. Tracy said yes, without hesitation. In fact, Ernest's oldest son, who manages all of his finances, is sending Tracy money so that she can go and buy wedding bands. Now, she's even got plans to go out to Ohio, where he is currently being held in prison, to go and marry him. And as of when I was doing research for this episode, there has yet been no update. So I don't know if she's been out there yet, but she's been out buying wedding bands and dresses and all this kind of stuff for this wedding. Now, one thing I found actually quite a lot of these, when you go get married to these extremely violent men, there's no like fancy ceremony. It is, if you've watched Orange is the New Black, when that lady gets married, it is just that. You get married in the communal space with everyone watching you, and you don't get, there's no conjugal visits. You don't get to then go and disappear and have a night together or anything like that. You just get put in sort of the break room where there's a vending machine and you maybe get given 10 minutes.
I really didn't think they'd do weddings. Like, what? Why?
Yeah. It's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah.
Imagine you're on, like, you just, you know, it's Tuesday afternoon. You know, you got your mum coming out to see you or something. And then someone's going to get married in the corner.
And that's just, it's so sad. Bizarre, after that, you have to, like, go back to your horrible bunk bed and eat slop.
Yeah.
And then if you can't do the time... Don't do the crime.
Yeah, and then you're not allowed to have your wedding ring because they'll take it off you.
No, you're allowed jewellery, aren't you?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't know. Never been.
We both looked at James like, do you know?
Never been.
Now, when Tracy was asked about the fact that her soon-to-be husband had murdered two people, one of them being a woman who he viciously beat to death, when asked if she was scared of what could possibly happen to herself... And bear in mind, he's not getting out, so I think she's safe to say what she's about to say. She says, quote, "Yes, he is a serial killer. He's committed a few murders, but I understand the risks of what could happen, and I still love him."
That must be because she knows that he's not getting out. I reckon if the reality hits and he was getting released,
you'd hope so,
wouldn't you? She might change her mind.
I think it's similar to, like, imagine you have a child, and then your child is a brutal murderer. And then the parents are like, "I still love that, my child." But it's like, in my head, I like, how can you? I suppose I'm not a parent, so I don't know.
That's maybe a different love.
For sure. But surely it changes your perception of that person.
Maybe. Yeah, I think maybe, like, you wouldn't look at them as, like, your child anymore, but you would look at them, you'd have that sort of, you can't help but know that they are part of you.
But say, for example, like, we hang out and stuff, and, like, I feel comfortable, and then suddenly you turned around to me and was like, "I've done this, 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 and this," and it's horrific. Suddenly I'm going to feel, like, a lot more uncomfortable around you.
But I suppose,
and probably try and
that's fresh
get out
information, isn't it? She's obviously fallen in love with him full well, knowing the story.
Like, knowing it.
So she's fallen in love with all parts of him. It's not necessarily
I don't understand it, but that's what this episode's about.
No. Well, she does eventually go on to say that everybody dies one day, I'm going to die eventually, and I don't mind the fact that it could be at the hands of him.
Right, that's just stupid. Absolutely stupid.
Why are you giving him a free pass to murder again?
Yeah.
So let's talk about another woman. Rebecca Short is from Oxford. Now, she's married to a guy called Manuel Ovate Jr. He was sentenced to death in 2010 for double murder after shooting a woman and a man. He's heard to have said, quote, "Who left the safety on before pulling the trigger, instantly killing a woman?"
Oh, for fuck's sakes.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, like, don't make jokes when you're murdering someone. Now, a man was wounded. He was shot and pleaded for help by Manuel, who ignored the man. He, in fact, died in the truck where they'd taken him away. He was then dumped in an alleyway. So Manuel is currently on death row awaiting lethal injection. Now, whilst on death row, he became aware of a woman named Rebecca via an online pen pal service. She describes him as a goofball and says that he's very loyal to his friends.
Right.
Now, one of fucking friends.
Yeah, all of his inmate friends. Now, one of Rebecca's friends describes her as being obsessed with watching Netflix true crime docs.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, that kind of doesn't surprise me.
Now, that doesn't surprise me either. And listen, I'm not calling you out. If you're sitting in, you go, I feel seen, I'm sorry. But most of you ones that are listening to us on our true crime ones, that's a lot of women.
Right, so this is the thing. Like, as I mentioned last episode, we've delved into TikTok, YouTube, whatever. The majority of our followers are women. And like, I think women are more interested in history anyway, as a general, but also the true crime stuff. The main audience is female, which I find really interesting. Like, I love true crime stuff. You love true crime stuff.
Mm.
Are we outliers? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Like, if ever there's a true crime documentary on Netflix that comes out, 9 times out of 10, it will be like a female friend that recommends it to me.
Mm. Yeah, it's a trope, but it's one of those where a lot of tropes, they stem from somewhere.
Yeah.
And it is that, you know, women love true crime.
And I mean, I've got the analytics, is that the word? When you can literally see the gender of the accounts following you from videos.
Mm. It's bizarre.
It's fascinating.
I have heard that one of the reasons, is a given theory as to why women really do enjoy watching true crime, is this idea that you can get close to something so horrific and bad in a safe way, an environment. But then that would sort of go for everyone.
Yeah,
I think
that's
probably one of the
though.
Reasons why I really like it, is that we can discuss and talk about it in what is a fairly safe environment. If you was to say to me, oh, you can go and interview this serial killer, I'd probably be like, oh, I don't know, I don't think I could, because it's too close. Whereas I can sit here behind a microphone and talk shit all night.
Yeah.
Now Rebecca is a 27-year-old dental nurse, so she told her family she was going to go on holiday, one of these like holidays of a lifetime. She's going off to the States, she's going to go visit Disney World, she's going to visit San Francisco, and she sends back on social media to her family pictures of herself at Disneyland at the Golden Gate Bridge. And then the family got a shock of their life when they saw the next picture was of her in a black wedding dress with her now death row husband on Facebook.
How do you tell your mum that?
Well, she didn't. She just posted it on Facebook.
But, I mean, if you're keeping it a secret, then that
but
just...
you know something's not right. Yeah, you know something's not right. Yeah. On their wedding cake, it said, quote, "Till death do us part," which is convenient because that's exactly
that's
what's going to happen.
I hope they knew
like that.
But when, if say he's got like a will in an estate somewhere, money, does that then go to her as next of kin? If so, this is a great business idea.
It probably is a really good business idea. But Manuel is a Hispanic gentleman. I'm going to say he doesn't have much money in his back pocket, which is why he was committing a lot of crime.
Maybe. Or he's got an empire.
Maybe. Yes, let's go with maybe.
That's clever, though.
Yeah. It's a cool cake thing put on there. You know he's going to die anyway.
Yeah. Like that.
Imagine that. You're like, you're 27. She's going to be a widow by the time she's probably 30.
Cool story to tell the grandkids, I guess.
Yeah, I once married a murderer.
Yeah, but then
murderer.
Will she do it again? Will she just find another one?
Probably. They'll just cycle through them. Do you know what I mean? Like, try and find the ones that have you got the least amount of years left on them or something.
Yeah, and you've got to kind of top off the last one you've had. Like, oh, he killed 2 people. Let's go for 4 this time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, let's look at the next one. Now, this for Jenna and I is very close to home. This one, she's from Southend.
Ooh, that's
which
around
is,
the corner.
Yeah, it's a 15-minute drive from where we're based. Now, this is a woman called Naomi Wise, or Naomi Oquendo, from Essex. She's engaged to a Victor Oquendo, a.k.a. Animal, in prison.
He sounds nice.
He does sound like a gentleman. Now, looking for someone to practice her counselling skills on, she came across Victor, a man serving a minimum of 24 years for double murder, home invasions, and armed robbery. Now, Naomi made it clear that she would not be with him if the crimes involved children in any way. Just double murder's fine.
At least she has her boundaries.
Yeah, I mean, that's so bizarre that she set her own boundaries and whatnot. Now, she's one of these, I think she does this for attention. I don't think she's doing it because she likes him necessarily or she's interested in the things he's done. I think she's interested for clout, mainly for the fact that she is very big on TikTok. So, surprisingly, Oquendo proposed 3 times on the phone to Naomi, and she said no on all of these. Eventually, she says yes. Now, sadly, the relationship has broken down, and it's unclear as to why, but as I say, Naomi's very active on TikTok talking about her experience. She's very keen to ride on the fame that she has got. In fact, she's actually applied to be on a TV show, Married at First Sight.
Oh, really?
Oh, I fucking love that show.
She'd be great on that, yeah.
Oh, the Australian one's the best. If
Can you imagine this one, though? She was going to marry someone that she's never going to meet. She'd be great if she actually finds, like, actually gets to see someone. now, it didn't work because she's not been on Married at First Sight. However, she has since started an OnlyFans with a guy that she met on Tinder.
Yeah, she's an attention-seeking gal.
Now, I would suggest not looking up this woman since I think she's only in it for clout and attention, so don't give her any. Don't sign up to the OnlyFans. Stay away from that. And to put a pin in this, I only know she has it because I've stalked her a little bit on TikTok to find out who this woman was, because it was fairly easy to find.
Yeah, we've got some things to talk about after this, Ryan.
My bank account is clear. I've not given this woman any money. And so that's all I've got so far. This is all I've got on her Bristophilia. Now, listen, for you guys listening, if you have a friend who has it, or if you yourself have dated an inmate or have hebristophilia, then honestly, if we've come across in any way where if we've been jokey or rude or anything like that, or you feel that we've done it in that way, obviously I want you to educate us. I want you to come on and talk to us, give us your experience, and tell us maybe why you know, I'm wrong, we're wrong, you know what I mean. I'm all for like hearing your side of the story. So if you do know anyone who's been through it, honestly, please do let us know. Jenna, for yourself, who doesn't have hebristophilia, what's your sort of take on this, what we've talked or discussed on today?
I mean, it's a completely bizarre situation. And I was thinking about this earlier, and there's a couple of cases that just confuse me a bit more, just because obviously you've got people like Ted Bundy, who was handsome and charismatic and whatnot. But then you also have people like John Wayne Gacy, and actually people, he had loads of love letters, and he's not attractive in any way, shape or form.
Mm.
So they're just attracted to the power that he had and that kind of almost dominant kind of characteristics where...
So it's the characteristic that they're interested in.
Yeah, because I'm not obviously saying that it's okay that you kind of like the fact that they kill people. But if they're really, really attractive, you're like, okay.
It makes it easier.
It makes it easier. But then you just like someone that looks like John Wayne Gacy, and he's not attractive in any way, shape or form.
Funny enough, Jeffrey Dahmer got lots of marriage proposals, and he's gay.
Is he?
He was, yeah. So, yeah, maybe, and it was known as well. It was a known thing that he was a gay man. So
yeah.
A lot of women were just like, but maybe I could be the one.
Yeah.
And
it's that whole thing again with like people like Ted Bundy, where he only kind of murdered and tortured women, and they still find that attractive. I can't get my head around it personally, but
no, that's
each
good.
To their own, I guess.
That's good. James, for yourself, what do you think?
Jack the Ripper really missed out. Well, he should have got caught after the 5th one. Gone to prison, and he would have been swimming in women.
Oh my god, yeah.
He would have got them all.
He could have got them all, because they would have just lined up round the corner to be killed by him.
Yeah, what an idiot. I don't know, it's weird. Like you said, it'd be interesting if someone listening to this either has it or knows someone that has it and can understand it and tell us a bit more. Because I don't get it, it doesn't make sense in my head.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, when I get into a relationship, I don't want it from the outset to be like, this person is going to be really difficult, could kill me.
Good kill.
That's not what you want, really, is it?
I don't know. I was watching a TikTok earlier because obviously my algorithm's completely fucked at the moment. I was watching a TikTok of one guy on a podcast saying how he thinks it's correct that his woman should be terrified of the idea that he could at any moment like pick her up and throw her at a wall and kill her, but chooses not to. He thinks that that is a good quality for him to be as a man, that his woman should be on edge, knowing that he could kill her at any moment, but chooses not to, and almost she should be grateful about that.
Well, he sounds like a misogynist.
He sounds like a dick. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know how I feel about that.
No.
There should be no fear in a relationship. You shouldn't be scared of like your partner at any point.
No.
I flinch at you sometimes.
Right, okay. You've only just met me. Let's not scare him off. I don't beat him up.
Yeah. Right, well, I think that's probably as good a place as anywhere to sort of end it there. Like I say, if you do know anyone or if you do have hebristophilia yourself, honestly, please do understand that, of course, we won't judge. We won't. More than anything, I just want to learn. I want to be educated. And it'd be fantastic to hear your experiences on the topic itself and maybe help us understand why, you know, it does make sense, you know, in some ways. Thank you very much for listening to us today. Jenna, thank you for joining us. You were a bit nervous before we recorded today because you've never done a podcast. Well, you've not been on ours at all. How was it?
Yeah, it was all right in the end. I warmed up. I think it's because I've listened to you guys for ages. Yeah. And it's just, a completely different environment. I think it was maybe in front of a camera and I don't know, we were all together. It might be a bit different, but no, it was fine in the end.
Mm.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And we'll definitely have you back on at some point soon as well, because we want to talk about things. So, you know, we like I said, we've got other video content and stuff that we're going to be recording throughout the year, and we'll get Jay in front of the camera so we can sit down and discuss, you know, how filming has gone before and challenges we may have.
Behind the scenes.
Little behind the scenes stuff. So, yeah, we've got some bits coming up. James, you're actually writing the next episode. Listeners will be very pleased to hear that the next episode will be done by you.
They will be pleased to hear that.
No bullet points. I hope they're pleased. No.
I don't know who it was going to be on, but as we were doing this episode, I remember someone did once ask us to do one on Bonnie and Clyde. So I think I'll do that.
Let's do it. I think there's no better time to do it than just straight out off of this one. Let's do that.
Yeah. That would make a really good like TikTok as well, so it'd be good to research it.
Yeah, yes, you can do as many as you like. As James mentioned, we do have TikTok. If you want to follow us on socials, that'll be great. We don't often plug
socials. Especially if you're
anymore.
A woman. The content is catered to you.
It is. We don't often plug the socials that much anymore. But check us out on TikTok because James is doing bits on there. Follow us on TikTok and check it out. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. It's a pleasure as always. Thank you for joining us and we'll see you on the next one.
Tatty bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.